I don't know how to start it. I can do this in 8 minutes. You know why? Because I come from the Church of God in Christ tradition where we have to start off with a song. So that's more important. Amen. If you know it, sing along with me. May your troubles keep you near the cross. May your struggles. May your struggles show that you need God. May your battles end the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is. May your troubles keep you near the cross. May your struggles show that you need God. You need God. May your battles in the way they should. In the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is. May your whole life prove that God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. All right, 23 minutes. I can do this. I got you. So Jim and I were talking about what we were going to do since we were doing it together. So we decided to break this into two parts, a practical part and the more spiritual aspect of it. So I'm very pragmatic. I'm not an abstract person at all. So I said, hey, I'll do that one. So I believe that your worship experience in your church is definitely orchestrated by God, and that no matter who God brings to your church as that worship leader will be able to lead. But I also believe that it is our responsibility as a church to support that person and to make sure that they are mentally and spiritually healthy as a worship leader. So for the ministry leaders and pastors and hirers here, let's start with number one, looking at and looking to. We're going beyond optics. Why was I hired to these different churches that I've worked at since 1999? One, am I bringing diversity to your mostly white church? That's one reason. These are all valid reasons. Number two, are they talented? You heard them play, you heard them sing, I'm just going to hire them. Number three, they have really good leadership skills, but you don't know what else, but they're going to lead your music team. That's a great reason. Or number four, they were available. All of these are valid reasons why you would hire a worship leader. So I just want you to be honest about why you hired this person. So, and that would be beneficial to me, the worship leader, if you knew about me. Because if I'm the diversity bringer, then you also need to know about my background. So I have three W's and an H. I just did the Y. So now I'm on the who. I'm a person with baggage. Like I said, I came from the Kojic background. I didn't know a lot of white music, and so I was hired to help diversify a church. I didn't know any of their songs. Looking at a sea of white people, and I'm like, you're not going to worship with me. I don't know any of your music, you know? And so that is something else that you need to consider when you're hiring a person. Who are they? Where did they come from? My third W is a what. What's their personality? Are they type A? Are they going to pick up and lead everything? Are they more introverted? Are they shy? Are they not actually a people person? So who, what, how? Let's think about that when we're developing our culture of worship in our church. Who is the kind of person that you're having to lead it? And I think that's very important. So the second thing about your worship leader, we need constant encouragement. Amen. Oh, thank you, Suzanne. She knows what I'm talking about. And when I say that, I mean, in terms of your why, are they just talent? Are they just leadership? Are they just available? They need encouragement in maturing, developing their leadership skills, finding them a mentor, sending them books. I get emails about books all the time. I'm like, what is my pastor trying to tell me? I'll just read it. It's encourage growth, accountability. Make sure that even though the worship leader is super busy, they should be in a small group, in a group of accountability and growing spiritually, and not just your worker aunt. Most of us want to just be that aunt that works all the time. No, encourage us to be a part of a group of people that will grow us spiritually. And the last one for my second point is encourage their skills. Encourage them to continue in their music lessons and heighten their ability. This is something that they're giving to the Lord, and we don't want it to be, this is our offering, and this is, like, I am always online looking for courses and classes and music lessons, and I feel like that is what I want to give to the Lord as a beautiful sacrifice, this worship time that we have together. And the third one is make it happen. How... I was really struggling with this one. We were talking about that phrase. But we think about goals that we want to have for our church, and we say, you know what? I want this to happen now. The problem is it would if everything was perfect, but it's not. So let's give each other a little bit more grace. I have a 5-year plan. And I think my pastor would much rather it be 3, but I said, you know what? I'll meet you in the middle, and it's going to be a 5-year plan. Amen. Sorry. So some things just can't happen. The church that I'm at, I'll tell you, I'm so good. The church that I'm at right now, I don't have a lot of musicians at our church, so I hire a lot of the musicians. And some of them are Christian and some of them are not. And again, like I said, I have a 5-year plan to work on bringing more people into the church that are members that can make up our band. And that's been a real struggle. Every day, every Sunday is Evangelism Sunday for me. And it's a very different way to lead worship when you're the only Christian on the stage sometimes. And so that's why my 5-year plan joke was great. So if you are a church like mine that is looking to diversify, you haven't made it yet, and you've hired this person, probably of color, they are going to be trying new things on your church that are brand new. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know about your churches. They're probably really perfect, but some people really don't like you messing with their songs. I know none of you have ever experienced this before. But that music leader, that's like Jehoshaphat. He's in the front. She is up front taking all of the brunt. They need your protection. This is part of the vision of your church, is to be a multicultural, a diverse place, safe for everyone. And if they're subscribing to that vision, you need to be in alignment with them and protecting them, because they're the first person that gets a lot of that flack for trying new things and being that spearhead. So I encourage you all to take a little bit extra care of us, but we love you so much.
Okay. Well, good afternoon. My name is Jim Ward, and for those of you who are aware of the other Jim Ward, I am not him. And don't ask me if I have a new CD out or anything like that, because I don't. So I was in 92 when I came to go to Covenant Seminary. I started, I was hired as part-time music director here at this new city. And didn't know a whole lot about what I was doing, but that's all right. The Lord was good. And so I was music director for 9 years, I think it was, and then I went to Philadelphia and all over the place, and now I'm back. But just to give you a little bit of background. So I want to start off, I hope I'll actually follow the outline there, but basically the first thing I want to say to you all, and it's been sort of here, but just to kind of give it the foundation again, is why we can have confidence that this is going to happen, this reconciliation, this unity, this that is going to be worked out. We have it. It's a gift in Christ. We already have it. But why we can have confidence that it's actually going to work out. And I'm going to go back real quick here to Ezekiel 36, which I think Thurman had mentioned earlier about, you know, I will sprinkle you with clean water and give you a new heart and all those things, which is a really precious verses. But before that, leading up to that, the thing that I love that God does is he kind of, you know, the Israelites are in exile, right? And for a good reason. And so he's talking about before that how they profaned his name because of the things they did. And he says here in, where it is, verse 21, but I had concern for my holy name. Verse 22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to act, but it is for my holy name. Verse 23, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. Later on in verse 23, then the nations will know that I am the Lord. Why can we have confidence about reconciliation happening? Our basis is not on, are you really committed? Are you like an urban ministry leader? It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. I don't care how gifted you are, how many years you've been involved in it. It's just not going to be the basis for why we know this is going to happen. It is God saying to us, no, no, it's for my name. I'm going to do this. It's going to happen. Now, your timing and your thoughts, you know, we may all have different opinions on, well, why didn't it happen already? All that. Yes. Thankfully, the Lord just keeps a hold of us and says, let's keep going. But it is for his sake. It is for his name. So have confidence. Have confidence, my brothers and sisters. Now, the other thing I want to mention here is Christ crucified our power. As we know, and maybe I've mentioned already, I don't know, but Ephesians 2:14, for Jesus Christ himself is our peace, who has made us both one, has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So he created one new people out of the two, making peace, our identity in Christ here. He is working this out in us, right? It's for his name's sake. This is what he's doing. He's told us very clearly. And just by way of testimony and encouragement, and I'm sure everybody in this room has something that they could say, but I just smile every time I think of this. But when New City first started back in 92, I remember having these conversations with folks and people saying certain things, and I felt the same way. But there were a certain group of people, and we were just, I mean, this may become obvious, but we were mostly black and white. That was the kind of focus at that point. The Lord eventually brought Latinos, and now we have a bunch of folks from Congo and French-speaking folks. But at that time, mostly black and white, and there were some folks in those early days that said things like, I didn't know worship could be so calm. Any idea who that might be? And then there were other folks who said, I'm always so worn out after Sundays. I didn't know you could be so worn out after worship. You might know who that might be, that group of people. And then I remember this one dear older lady in the faith who, you know, seasoned ministry person. And we had what was like we called a racial reconciliation meeting. We would all meet together in our cafeteria and talk about the basic issues of reconciliation. And this was actually when we were singing in Spanish and had the Latino connection. And And she said, with tears coming down her face, I know it's good to do. It just doesn't feel like worship. Right? It just doesn't feel like worship. Now, let me go on to something that Mary kind of touched on, but our failings. And I'm actually changing. It's not divisions and judgment. It's something else. But the temptation here is to be centered on self. And, you know, this is not something we all know the right answer, right? But and yet we still do this. But we say things to one another, or mainly to the music directors or others like that. But I don't like singing repetitive choruses. Man, those hymns, they're just so wordy. And they got these terms, you know, like hoary hairs. Who talks like that? You know, we should sing about God's glory, not our needs being met. It's not very theologically deep, that song. And in our private conversations, we'll say, wow, people can be so frigid on Sunday mornings. Or, you know, not enough passion. Or people can be too emotional. When I moved to Philadelphia, I was youth pastor up there. Within my first month of being there, so I'm a guy that in the middle of worship, I'm raising my hand and I'm clapping and I'm kind of like moving. And that's just kind of natural to me. And I was doing that up there. Well, they didn't do that in that church. And so there was a guy actually who left the church because of that. And he said to me, you're being way too emotional. So we do have our thoughts on worship. But here's what I love, right, is in the middle of our failings, God committed to teaching us. He says this, you all know this in 2 Corinthians 5, Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. His law doesn't compel us. Moralism doesn't compel us. Even helping the poor, knowing that that's, it doesn't help us. But Christ's love compels us. And he says a little bit later, Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. I forgot one other thing. And this might be a little more of an ouch hit home for some folks, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, and I've said these same things. But sometimes, not only do we say things about or criticize, or like, that has too many words and that kind of thing, but sometimes we can actually get to the point of using spiritual words to justify our preference. Y'all know what I mean, right? That song or that worship service just isn't very spirit-filled. What does that mean? What is that? You can translate that, right? That song, it's not very worshipful. Is that right? So anyway, I forgot to mention that earlier part. But anyway, but Christ's love compels us, and we no longer live for ourselves. Somebody mentioned earlier Philippians 2, honor one another above yourselves. What I want to say is, and this is something that I love about being in a place where it is not just one culture, and it's certainly not just my culture, is there is a richness when you don't say, I'm colorblind. We're all the same. But instead you say, you have everybody bringing their culture, and we celebrate, and we say, you're black. Praise God. Bring your culture into this place. You're Latino. Praise God. Bring it into this culture, to this place, because this is our culture. And it's okay for me to also say, you're white. Bring that in to this culture. God has made all of these cultures, and the question is, how do we celebrate? And how do we look to one another and say, you know what? I want your culture to be here. And I want you and your heart to be filled with joy as you sing stuff from your culture. I want that. And, you know, God made me this way. Praise God. He also wants to bring it in and be a part of the culture. So just the last thing here. I have no idea how much time I have. Is that 5 minutes? Is that right? Okay. Wow, Mary, what? Is that what you did? I thought you were joking, but man, shoot. I'll bring in my optional points here. No, I'm kidding. So just lastly, some things to think about in terms of moving forward. How do we build unity in our church in terms of music and worship? I think with song lyrics, with calls to worship, talk about the greatness of Christ and how he has reconciled us one to another. You can't have one without the other, right? 1 John 4, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, well, it doesn't work. Up front, participation from each culture. And you know, we talked about optics. The point is not, well, look, it looks so nice up there. There's all these different people. This is great. And, okay, amen, it's great that there are all the... But what I'm saying is, everybody who's up there has a voice to say, "This I'm bringing my culture into this. And I'm going to be a part of this team, this group, this family, and bring that in." So it is a voice. It is a place at the table. It is authority. It is giving direction. It's all those things. I have 3 minutes. I saw him. I just thought. And so that means that's in terms of the preaching, the call to worship, the announcements, the singing, the playing. Even songs learned, you know. I have had conversations with different folks at different churches who have said, oh, I really want to learn an African song. And so I want to ask somebody about it. Or could you send me an African song that you use? I'm like, well, I could, but I'm not going to. Because the point isn't that you just get an African song and you sing an African song. Go to one, if you have somebody in your congregation who is African, go to that person and say, hey, could you lead us? Could you help us? It's your culture. I want you to be here. I'm not going to just, that would be nasty if I did that. You do not want me to do that. Okay. And then lastly, this is literally the last thing. Open your heart to be willing to learn to worship as your brothers and sisters do. And I'm not saying become them. You understand the difference, right? I am not saying become them. I don't have to start wearing my hat backwards and, you know, always be listening to hip hop. I don't have to become someone else. But I can learn from you how to worship. So if I'm quiet, I can learn how to shout. Thank you. Thank you. If I shout, then I can learn how to be quiet. Right? I'll never forget. You may not remember this, Barry, but going back to the early days of New City, I remember him mentioning these certain verses, Psalm 63, lift up your hands, Psalm 47, clap out your hands. And he would literally stand up there before we sang a song and he'd be like, okay, everybody do this, you know, and do this. Does that feel good? No, it feels horrible. That's okay. That's all right. Do you remember doing that? Do you remember that? Right. Amen. Amen. Chris was there. That's right. So, but the point is we can learn. We can learn. And there was a term that I remember Jim Ward, the famous guy, said years ago, he used the term cultural humility. And I love that term. And I just think that's what we need to have. Let's learn from one another. All right. Thank you.